Hey, this is Tom.
And this is Gavin, and you're listening to Keep It Simple. Keep It Simple is a podcast devoted to exploring life with Christ through simple, organic expressions of the church.
Hey, welcome to the podcast today. This is Tom LeCompte.
And I'm Gavin Durson. We thank you for joining us again. We hope that you guys are having a good season of life.
Hey, we're starting our fifth year with this podcast. 5 years, Gavin.
Fifth and final, perhaps, unless we don't get some major sponsors over here. This is costing us so much to run this thing.
Oh, hey, that's one thing. Yeah, we've never mentioned this on the air, but we do this podcast completely free. I mean, we don't charge anything. We don't ask for anything. We do this on our laptops in our spare time. So you're welcome.
All right. Yeah. And you all owe us. That's what we're saying, basically. All right. So, Tom, why don't you introduce our topic today and we'll get right into it.
Okay. Well, recently I was at a conference, and it was a conference dealing with ministering to ethnic groups. It actually was a specific ethnic group, which I'm not going to name, but it was a conference about ministering, how the North American church ministers to ethnic groups within North America, and how we do either a good job or a bad job or mediocre or whatever. One of the things that kept coming up is that the American church as we know it, and I don't know if this is, I'm not including the house church with it, but this is applicable to the house church as well, the simple church. The North American church as we know it is ill-equipped to disciple, to welcome in and disciple a new believer from a certain cultures. And as they try to do that, the new disciple, the new believer, either has to change so much, and then they just get really discouraged and just move on to either something else, or they try to find a church that is from their own culture. Or they just get discouraged and give up. It got me thinking, you know, what is our church like? What are we doing? Are we flexible enough where we could invite someone from another culture who is a believer into our fellowship and they would feel welcome? Would they feel like they're a part of our fellowship? Would they feel like they're growing? Would they understand even what we're saying? Are we speaking in a strange language, you know, even the church language that we use? Would they, our customs, our music, the way we dress, all these things, would it be so mind-boggling to them, even sometimes offensive, or would it be something that they would just feel comfortable doing? We've done this before. Bonnie and I, we work with international students, and we've tried to invite international students into our fellowship, and we've actually done, I don't know, a decent job at integrating certain cultures into our house church. We have some Chinese, we have some Europeans that are worshiping with us, and they've been doing it for years, so I guess they like it, and we're making them feel comfortable. I don't know, what's your experience with this, Gavin?
Have a lot, you know, most of my cross-cultural experience is not, it's been more within American, cross, you know, American subculture types of things. But, you know, might, Tom, just take this opportunity, we did a podcast not too long ago where we discussed how do we grow our communities. And, you know, one of the things, like, let me say this first of all, about just to comment, give some feedback on what you're saying. I think that in a house church setting, it's a catch-22. If we invite people, if our primary thought is, is our house church accepting to other people of other cultures to invite them into our community, okay? That, in a house church setting, is probably more inviting than any other form of church or any thinking of doing, if that's the way we're thinking. Because if it's relational, you've invited them to come into your home. They're not just coming to a meeting where they're not meeting. There's a relational aspect to it that is going to be more inviting even if your food's American, your music's American, your everything's very American and very non, you know, the fact that it's relational, I think, covers a multitude of sins. So
I agree.
So that being said, though, I do think that, and I have seen this in examples and other examples, and there's a guy right now that we're working with in Lexington who is a part of a ministry to international families and students, and we've had these similar conversations, that the goal, and again, going back to the podcast we did not so long ago, I don't know that the goal is we bring people from other cultures into our house church. I think again, some of this comes from, you know, are we willing to leave our comfort zone? We a lot of times we ask the outsider to leave their comfort zones and come into our comfort
zone. That's a good point.
Rather than our primary, our initial response being, let's leave our comfort zone and join them in their comfort zone. I think it's the Luke 10 principle of going and finding a person of peace and staying in their home with them, not taking anything with us, learning to be dependent upon that person, learning to eat their food, learning to come underneath them in some way as someone who is a guest in their sphere of influence, in their culture, in their world. To me, that does not mean they would never come to your house church meeting. That doesn't mean they would never be welcome there. But I think, again, I think a lot of times, and I'm not saying this is true for you, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but we have this default of when we talk about these things of thinking, could we invite these people into our house church? Would we be welcoming? And I think that's an important topic, but I also think it exposes that we have a come first sometimes mentality when we think that way. And again, I'm not saying we make a hard rule about it. You know, always go, never invite people to your house church because they may not feel welcome. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I also think that there is a place for us first thinking, how can we go to them? What would that look like for us? Could that be that second church, as we talked about in the previous podcast, mm-hmm. two churches at the same time, where, you know, we're praying and leaving our community and being a part of this other community and modeling some of those principles and modeling the Christian life in a way that does not, you know, that is very transferable from culture to culture. Love the one another's, breaking bread together, you know, praying, worshiping, and doing that in a way, in their home, in their environment, in a way that is natural to them.
Mm-hmm.
I think, to me, that's where I want to be better at, you know. And we saw some of this, like, you know, the first example I've shared a lot of times on this is, like, with the skate church. I mean, some of that was, you know, very much a subculture of American subculture. But it's still, you know, rather than trying to get these folks to come and sit in my neighborhood and my church, we brought church to them at the skate park and we worshiped in ways that were culturally relevant to that group. And we broke bread and we gathered in a place and environment setting that was very much on their turf, on the skateboarding community's turf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and I think that to me seems to where I try to think and try to help myself to think and encourage people to think. I think it's biblical. I think it's what the disciples did, and I think it's what we don't do a lot here.
Right. So whether we do invite them into our existing groups or we go to them and try to start another group, I think the two are going to overlap, and I think they may be interchangeable. The question is, are we, as American Christians, are we willing to be flexible enough and to be adaptable enough to minister to someone from a totally different culture, right? Whether that's, you know, a different lifestyle, a different country, a different religion that you know, is interested in Christ. Somebody very, very different from you who doesn't do the things the way you do it. Are we going to make them change to fit us? Or are we going to try to adapt to their culture, you know, without compromising the scriptures? What are we willing to do, and what must they do?
Well, they must obviously become an American Republican conservative evangelical Christian.
Those are loaded words, buddy.
Yeah. You know,
but that's, you're not wrong. I mean, you're saying what people are thinking.
And it is hard for us to separate some of that. And what does it, you know, what does it mean to follow Christ? And, you know, I think we, you know, again, I think the challenge to me in this question, and we're actually getting ready to do a thing with some house churches in this ministry in town called Bridges, which I know it's like what a lot of the work you and Bonnie do. They minister to international students. Mm-hmm. And students is a term that involves a lot of times families here doing doctoral work and things of this nature. And I know you all do that too. But I think so much of this is there. I think my perception of this, and you probably know better than me than this, is that, you know, a lot of internationals living amongst us here in our country come here and they find that Americans kind of tend to stick to their own, and they end up sticking to their own, and maybe it's more their fault, more our fault. Whose fault that is, you know, we can pass the blame around a lot. Maybe they're not interested in meeting Americans and coming into our homes. Maybe we're not, you know, it's probably a little bit of both. It's easier. We all tend to gravitate towards what's most comfortable to us. And mm-hmm. when we're all in awkward situations, we gravitate to those like us. And that's natural and normal. Again, I think most of what we do is and this can be any cross-cultural setting. A lot of times I think what the church has been guilty of and Christians have been guilty of is we sit there and think, why are they not coming to us? Why are they not showing up at our things? Why are they not doing this? And that is not a biblical, you know, idea. To me, the question is, why are we not going to them? And there's a lot of reasons I think we're not going to them. Some of it, again, it's not easy. Where would we even go to them when mm-hmm. we show up? Mm-hmm. You know, put yourself in that spot. Like, where would we go? Is there a cafe, a park, a place? Like, would we just start going there and we would stick out? No one would maybe talk to us. We might not know their language. We might not know what to do. And so a lot of times what we've done is we said, well, let's go there for a minute and drop some things off and then leave. And let's take some things down there. I know one person who knows somebody and let's get them some, you know. The issue to me, and I think this is why Simple Church is so important, and one of the reasons is because it sort of cuts through a lot of the fluff and says, you know what, like a church and the kingdom and discipleship and God's family is a relational endeavor.
Exactly.
And if relationships are not being built, then we're just playing games, I think, right. to some degree. Now, that doesn't mean there's not a place for dropping some clothes off if we know there's a group of refugees that showed up in our town and they don't have a dime, you know, they have nothing. Maybe there's a place for that. I'm not saying that. But if we really want to talk about building bridges and we want to talk about, you know, relationships are the only way that ministry really ever happens and to a significant degree, I think. And so, you know, I think the challenge we have is, are we willing to leave our comfort zones and step into their worlds? And to what degree are we willing to do that? And where would we start? You know, what might that mean? And are we willing to do that? Maybe it's one dinner and doesn't become anything more than that. Well, are we at least willing to try to have one dinner with that lady that we've sort of conversed with and say, hey, would you like to get together for dinner? And maybe saying, hey, could we bring some food over to your place?
Yeah.
We would love to pick up dinner and bring it over to your place.
Yeah. It's not rocket science. It's what do you see in front of you? Do that thing, and it doesn't have to be hard. You just have to be willing, just like you said. Just invite somebody over for dinner. I tell you what,
invite ourselves over to them for dinner. That's what I'm saying.
That works.
I'm thinking there was something, you know, just recently happened. We've recently met a lady, and you know, my wife was very. I really appreciate this about her, but. It's an odd thing to do to invite yourself over to someone else's home, but we did that.
Yeah.
And, man, we had a wonderful time. And you learn so much about this person. I mean, you show up at someone else's house. Now you've stepped into their world, and you know exactly. You get a wealth of information about that person and what God's doing, where they're at, what their needs are, where they're at. And it says to them, you know, you're willing to come to them. I think that shows love and care. And it's hard. It's a tough thing to do. I even felt a little odd about it in this particular situation, but I was glad we did.
One of the things that Americans are not really good at, not even in the South, is hospitality. Even if we think of the most hospitable person that we can think of, other cultures can hospitalize us. They can put us in the hospital through their hospitality much more than we can. They are so good at it. It's so important to their culture. And to us, it's just like, this is an inconvenience. I'll do it, but this is an inconvenience. I just want you to know I'm putting up a lot of work for this. You're welcome.
Yeah.
So basically, hospitality is just trying to get in their shoes. And what do they want? What do they need? How can I make them comfortable? How can I satisfy them with a meal? How can I just make them feel at home? And that is it is so powerful in building relationships.
Yeah.
It just gets right to the heart of things, even more than dropping off clothes or preaching on the street or anything like that. If you get in their space, spend time with them, not just a half an hour, but in the evening.
Yeah, and I think we have
to think. It's time consuming, but
it's time consuming and it takes time, and that's why I think we're so bad about that.
We're
so
busy.
We got other
things.
But I think that if we can just get to a place, and I think this is very important. I think for those listening to this podcast, if you're doing Simple Church, you're thinking about starting a Simple Church, I do believe that of all people, maybe we are positioned to help reach those that are in our country, in our neighborhoods, from other cultures and other countries. I mean, I think that we have an opportunity to show Christ and to show the body of Christ and help those folks learn about Christ in a very, 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 very wonderful way. I'm not going to say a better way or even this, but I think that we're positioned to really make an impact. And I'm not the best at this. It's one of the reasons I've been meeting with this gentleman in our town. We're going to be doing some things. But, we're not going to – you can't do everything. But is there one person – could you find a friend from another country, a refugee, or someone in your town? If you're in a college town, there's definitely internationals around you. May have to make some calls to find out who knows these people. But could you just make one friend? Could your family have one relationship with folks that are in our town, maybe permanently or temporarily, from another culture where the gospel is not being spread and not maybe known? And could you begin a friendship? That may not mean they ever come to your house church. That may not mean you ever start a house church with them. But could you have a friendship that involves getting together every so often? And you don't have to make a rule about it, but could you take a step towards that? And I think that's the challenge that I've been issued recently. And kind of what in your heart, Tom, I think that's where I want to go with that.
Well, I mean, and it doesn't have to be a foreign culture from, a geography that's different from ours. It could be a cultural separation. I'm very comfortable working with international students. I'd be scared to death with skateboarders. But that's your world, Gavin, skateboarders, athletes, that's your world, and you're comfortable in that world, and that's good. You just make an effort to reach somebody that's not of your culture, whatever that means, Republican, Democrat. I'd have a hard time with people of other political persuasions than me, but that's another story.
Well, there's no question we can all do, I think these sorts of conversations, like the point of this is not to make people feel bad. It's like, oh, on top of all the other people I'm trying to get, build relationships, and now they're talking about us trying to meet with international folks. And it's like, oh, man, when am I ever going to have a chance to be or the Christian that, that is not the point, is to just kind of put these things on us. But my sense is that all of us, if we're willing to ask the Lord, and maybe this is where we can wrap things up, is to say, Lord, like, who around me, who is that person of peace? And you know what? I really believe, and I could be wrong on this, but I'm going to try and test this theory in the next several months. I really do believe that perhaps those guests of ours from other cultures that are in our midst may be the most fertile ground of anyone.
Yes.
And and I think that it could be someone that we run into at the grocery, or we at a work, or people that are, you know, wherever, if we are willing to say, Lord, like, what if, maybe this is the prayer, is like, Lord, like, I think we all probably tend to think, when we think about reaching folks and making a difference, we tend to think of the people that come to mind, if we make a list, which sometimes we've done of encouraging, like, Lord, who, it's people like us. It's the people that look like us. Think like, because those are the most comfortable, natural relationships that we think the Lord would use us to you know, would use in our lives to be an influence. But what if it wasn't? What if it was that person that is the most opposite of you? And would we be willing to say, Lord, is there a person of peace that is not like me, maybe from a different culture, that, Lord, you desire for me and our family to influence for your kingdom and to share your love with? And just pray that prayer and see what the Lord does, and see if someone comes to mind. And if they do, then just simply be obedient to reach out to that person and in whatever way that the Lord leads you. I believe he knows exactly how he wants to do his business, and he is able and capable of leading and guiding us in that. But don't, maybe the takeaway today is to not immediately default to people that are like us.
Right. And we just want to encourage you. We don't want to put a guilt trip on you, or, you know, that wasn't my intention in bringing up this subject, saying, oh, look how awful the church is. the idea is to encourage you to just take one step and do something different, you know, do something that's not what you're used to, whether that's eat a cultural meal with a person of a different culture, you know, go eat some Ethiopian food with somebody. Or, you know, whatever. Go have some tea with somebody who's not like you. It's fun. I'm trying to tell you that we enjoy that. My wife and I enjoy that ever so much, and it's a lot of fun. It's sometimes an adventure, and we don't want you to be afraid of that. It's a lot of fun to do different things with different people. Gavin, is there something on your mind that you really, really like?
Oh, man. In the stuff I like category, I'm not sure if I've ever mentioned this or not, but...
Well, I'll let you think a while. Hey, stuff I like. Hey, I know it's been a couple of weeks, but the church has just celebrated the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, which began in Germany with a young man named Martin Luther. And... basically, what it was this young monk had some issues with the church as it existed, and he wanted to debate, and he wrote up, a little paper and stuck it up on the bulletin board at the Wittenberg Chapel. So that little posting on the bulletin board created an earthquake within the church, and now we have a different church as we know it, the Protestant Church. And I just want to appreciate that. You know, I grew up as a Protestant, and I have a lot of respect for my Catholic friends, but I grew up as a Protestant. But what Luther was trying to do, and this is why I like it, because it's what a lot of house church and simple church people are trying to do. They're just trying to get the church to think back to the way things were in the scriptures, to the way the scriptures originally described things, the way scriptures describe theology. You know, Martin Luther codified his theses, his 95 theses, into the five solas, what we call now. And that is, we are saved through Christ alone. That's one sola. Through faith alone. That's another. By grace alone. It's a gift. We don't do anything for it. And... We know this through the scriptures alone, not through anything apart from the scriptures, not through any authority or power. And all of this is for the glory of God. So I just want to take that time to thank God for the Reformation, and thank God for the simplicity of the scriptures, and thank God for saving us through grace, through faith. And that's what I like this week.
All right, stuff I like. I've been into a new podcast. I think we've mentioned this guy on here before, But there's a gentleman named Wayne Jacobson. He's written a book called So You Don't Want to Go to Church Anymore. He's sort of a collaborator on that book. And he does a podcast that I've been really enjoying listening to. He actually does a couple of podcasts. But if you go onto iTunes and you look up lifestream.org podcast and you go back to the very first episodes, he does a series called Transitions. And there's about a 7-part series. I've gotten through about 6 of them. And I really enjoy this. I've been really enjoying this podcast. And he talks a lot about in this podcast about the cross. And I've really been enjoying learning about more about the cross. In fact, there's some ways that I think that maybe we'll talk about it another time that I've been really challenged to rethink what exactly happened on the cross. And I highly recommend that. And Wayne Jacobson does he does several good podcasts out there. This is actually, again, I think it's one of his older ones. I think these podcasts were recorded back in the 2011. He has a daily podcast now that I think it's called Life with God or something of this nature. But lifestream.org podcast transition series, stuff I like, highly recommend it. And I think you'll find it enjoyable. He has definitely a house church, simple church mindset. But I've kind of explained to folks if house church or simple church is homeschooling, then Wayne Jacobson, I think he would be an advocate for unschooling. So sometimes I think he's even on the spectrum of, hey, even house church can be too rigid and too structured, which I actually agree with. So I enjoy his perspective and the way he speaks about the body and the cross and the church, and perhaps you will too. So check it out. Lifestream.org podcast transition series, the very first set of podcasts on that series. You have to scroll down to the bottom to get them. And that'll do it for today. Thanks for checking in with us on the Keep It Simple podcast. We hope that you'll join us again, and we'll be back real soon with some more fresh cut episodes. Be sure to send us a note if you'd like to. Can leave us a review on iTunes. That'd be great as well. Help spread the word. And we'd love to hear from you. KeepItSimplePodcast.com. Shoot us a line, and we'd love to share your comments, questions on the air.
Yep, and we're on Facebook as well. So, hey, we'll see you next time. This is Tom.
And I'm Gavin.
See ya. Thanks for listening to Keep It Simple. If you've enjoyed this podcast, leave us a comment at keepitsimplepodcast.com or find us on iTunes or Facebook. We welcome your feedback, your ratings, your questions, or comments.